ask if you will to take your Bible and turn to Mark chapter 8. I want to finish up the 8th chapter tonight. And kind of like I've said on these Wednesday nights, I really hadn't intended just to continue going into a lot of these verses, but I'm enjoying studying them and looking at them. I hope that you're enjoying going down through these things, kind of like verse by verse and passage by passage. It always helps me. I've often said some of the most joyous times that I have preaching is when the Lord allows me to take a passage and just go, you know, continue on in it in a series type thing. I got a text message from Austin just the other day, and he said, I've had a high point in my ministry. He said, I finally preached through the book of Romans. He said, I actually started some of it back whenever I was coming here on occasions and filling in. And he said, then I kept going down at the church where I'm at in Soar. And he said, it took over 2 years, but I got through the book of Romans. And I know how he feels. There's an excitement about doing a long study like that. And I don't know how we'll do. I don't know that I'll go on into chapter 9. We may look at some other passages in Mark. I don't know how the Lord will lead, but touch my heart about this passage tonight. Picking up where we left off last time in verse number 31. I want to begin tonight. It says, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of him. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the Gospels, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. That is reading verses 31 through 38 tonight in Mark chapter number 8. Jesus' words about the cross are strange as an announcement to the disciples because of what has just happened. If you remember last time we looked in the verses just before this, and Jesus had taken the disciples to the area of Caesarea Philippi, and he made two questions to the disciples. Asked them, who do men say that I am? And then he said, but who do you say that I am? And then Peter made that great statement that thou art the Christ. And Jesus said, flesh and blood, and he had revealed this, but the Father had revealed it unto him. But now Jesus turns around and he tells them that not only is he the Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, but he says that he hasn't come to establish an earthly kingdom, but he has come to be crucified. And with great detail, Jesus begins to tell them about of what is to come. He says in verse 31 that he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things. The idea is of a necessity. Jesus said that I must suffer many things, that it is essential to the redemption of fallen man for these things to take place. But he goes on and he says, and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes. So Jesus talks about being rejected. That means to reject someone after having put them to the test. The idea is that the leaders, the religious leaders of the day, were going to examine Jesus closely to see if he measures up to their idea of the Messiah. And he didn't. He wasn't what they were looking for in a Messiah. So they condemned him to death and rejected him. But then Jesus said, and be killed. The word killed that Jesus uses, it means to kill outright and in a violent manner. Then Jesus says that he'll rise again the third day. Verse 32 says this, it's interesting. And he spake that saying openly. I mentioned last week that on occasions Jesus had kindly veiled his talk about his crucifixion. He made the statement that destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up again. He made the statement, as the serpent Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So all of those things Jesus said in a hidden way. But now he talks openly, plainly, directly to the disciples about his death. It means without hiding the details. So Jesus gets plain about his death. Upon that saying, that upset Peter greatly. So Peter pulls the Lord Jesus aside and says in verse 32, Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Peter took Jesus aside from the disciples and begin rebuking for what he had just said. But then Jesus says in verse 33, but when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, He rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." Peter makes a statement in opposition to Jesus going to the cross. Jesus turns around and rebukes Peter, but says it for all the disciples to hear. They were probably thinking the same thing that were saying it. So Jesus steps in to correct the thinking that Peter has. What is on my mind tonight as I look at this passage is just a few thoughts of opposition to the cross. I want to just share with you a few things from this passage about how people oppose the cross in ways that the cross is opposed even today. First of all, let me say there is opposition to the word of the cross. I understand Peter's actions because Peter just couldn't stand the thoughts of Jesus being killed in such a way. Peter loved the Lord. Peter realized that he was the Christ. I know that Peter and the disciples didn't understand everything about what all that meant. But they loved the Lord. And when Peter heard Jesus talk about being rejected and suffering and dying, he rebukes the Lord for saying it. But Jesus' response was so strange to Peter. Peter probably didn't know what to say or what to think about it all. Peter rebukes him. Peter has opposition to the word of the cross. Jesus says an odd statement to Peter. He says, "Get behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of him." By calling Peter Satan, that's the appearance of the verse. I really don't think Jesus was actually saying to Peter that you're Satan. I don't believe that's the intention at all. But in Peter's words, Jesus heard Satan behind it. Jesus realized Satan was speaking through the mouth of Peter. I could just almost imagine that when Peter heard what Jesus said, that Satan whispered in his ear and said, "Oh no, that can't happen." So Peter rebukes Jesus. Jesus is saying, that's the voice of Satan. It's the same voice that Jesus heard in the wilderness temptation. The same voice that said, "If you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world." Satan was saying, "Don't go to the cross. Avoid the cross. You see, there is opposition to the word of the cross. Just talking about Jesus dying caused a rebuke. Satan attacked. Jesus said, that's what the enemy, the adversary, is saying. Satan was trying to stop Jesus from going to the cross. But I want to say there is another warning here for us. There's the warning to each of us that one moment we can be so spiritually close to God, and if we're not careful, the next moment we can fail miserably. Peter had just made the statement, thou art the Christ. Jesus said, God the Father's revealed this. And now Peter turns around and rebukes Jesus about the cross. Do you realize that you and I can be here on Sunday praising God, worshiping, and honoring God, and if we aren't careful, on Monday, we can mess up big time. Because we're in this old human flesh, it can happen. It can happen. So there's a warning. Satan, let me go back to this one more time. Satan opposes the cross. He is trying to work through Peter to stop Jesus when Jesus spoke of the cross. So there's opposition to the word of the cross. Secondly, there's opposition to the work of the cross. You see, they never associated the idea of suffering, rejection, and death with the coming Messiah. Their thoughts were only about the kingdom of God. So I ask the question tonight, why is there so much opposition to the work of the cross? I believe Paul answers that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18. He says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Verse 22, he goes on, for the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power and the wisdom of God. That's why there is opposition to the work of the cross. Because there is no other way in salvation. There's no other way. Multitudes today are offended because they don't like the blood way of the cross. They say, a lot of people say, give me something to do. Let me say some Hail Marys. Let me count some rosaries. Let me recite something, do something. Let me work and I'll get to heaven by my deeds and my actions and my works. But it is by the blood of Jesus Christ alone. That's the work of the cross, that people be saved. And that is the only way. So there's opposition to the word of the cross. There's opposition to the work of the cross. But thirdly, there is opposition to the worth of the cross. Jesus declares the must of the cross. The only way that sinners are justified is by the cross. And we've come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And Satan knows that he can't take away our salvation. But what he wants us to do is overlook the value and the worth of the cross. He wants us to lose our appreciation of the cross. I had a preacher to tell me one time, it's been several years ago, I could call him, came and you know him, but I'll not do that. But I had a preacher to tell me one time, he made this statement. He said, I never thought I'd see the day that preaching on the cross would dampen the spirit of the service. But he said, we're there. I never forgot that. People want to hear other things. People will get moved and motivated by other things, talking about particular needs and things. They'll be moved to tears over a story or something like that, or a little sermonette. But when somebody preaches on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and the necessity of the cross, so often we sit unmoved and unstirred about the cross. But that's the one thing that ought to stir us. That's the one thing that ought to capture our attention. I don't know if you paid a lot of attention, but I did Sunday to the testimonies that we heard. Over and over in the testimonies, I heard people thanking God for salvation, for going to the cross, for dying for their sins, and rejoicing, praising because the work of the cross and because of salvation, we have a hope and a home in heaven. Those are the things that ought to stir our hearts. When we think about the cross, Paul said one time, he said, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul could have gloried in his wisdom and knowledge. He could have gloried in the vision the Lord gave him of heaven. Paul could have gloried in a lot of things, but he said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. Several years ago, Donnie Rambo wrote a song, I will glory in the cross in Jesus Christ. That ought to be our glory. That ought to be our glory. The old hymn says, keep me near the cross. Be my glory ever. I don't ever want to lose the worth of the cross. I don't want to ever get to the place that thinking of how Jesus died for my sins doesn't move me. I want to hang on to the worth of the cross. I realize if it wasn't for the cross, I'd be headed for hell if I wasn't there already. But because Jesus came to the cross and died and rose again, we have hope. We have salvation. Peter rebuked the Lord because he wasn't seeing the worth of the cross. He was just thinking of it naturally. Jesus, I don't want to see you die. I don't want to see you hear you talk about that. But it was the work of the cross that had to be done. Peter wasn't seeing the worth of it. So many people still today don't see the worth of the cross. But then lastly, and I'll be done, there is opposition to the way of the cross. In verses 34 through 38, Jesus begins to teach not just the disciples, but all the people. Says some pretty difficult things to swallow at times. He said, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." There's opposition to the way of the cross because it isn't always an easy way. It means that I've got to deny myself. It means that my will's got to go and God's will be done. It means I don't choose my way, but I'm to walk in His way. I'm to honor Him. I'm to serve Him with all of my heart. And there's a lot of people that won't do that. In Luke chapter 9, it tells the story of three that came to Jesus and they said, "The Lord will follow you wherever you say to go." But when Jesus talked about the cost of discipleship, all three of them walked away. There are people that talk about they want the benefits of salvation, but they don't like going the way of the cross. There's still opposition to the way of the cross. Jesus gives a paradox statement. He says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the Gospels, the same shall save it." Jesus says you can have what you want now and in the end lose it all. Or you can lay aside those things now, follow me, and in the end gain it all. He went on, he said, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" He said, what's it worth to you in this life? To get all that you can have and possess, but in the end, lose your life and lose everything. Then he closed it by saying, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Jesus was saying, if you're too ashamed of the way of the cross here and refuse to go God's way, then there's going to come a day that I'll be ashamed of you and say, "Depart from me. I never knew you." Matthew Henry says it this way. He said, "They shall not share with him in his glory then that were not willing to share with him in his disgrace now." If we're not willing to walk the way of the cross, then we're not going to have life in him. To have real life, real salvation, means that I'll be willing to take up the cross, deny myself, and follow Jesus. I believe in the day of judgment, that there's going to be people that will give a thousand worlds to be able to call back the choice they made in rejecting Jesus Christ. I believe they'd be willing to give a thousand worlds if they just have one more chance to accept Christ. The cross is still opposed in our day. People oppose the word of the cross. Did you realize, and I'm closed. Do you realize that in a lot of churches they've even taken songs about the blood out of their hymnals? They won't even sing them because they oppose the word of the cross. Don't want to offend somebody with a bloody religion. Opposing the work of the cross, opposing the worth of the cross and the way of the cross. That's the only way of salvation. That's the only way of life. Apart from the cross, there'll be no salvation for fallen man. Some thoughts tonight that the Lord's put on my heart from this 8th chapter, finishing up the 8th chapter in the book of Mark. Hope that maybe it was just a blessing for you to hear tonight, to your heart.